We're glad for our guests that have joined us today, and we welcome you here. I have been preaching a series called Welcome, Holy Spirit, a series that's focusing on who the Holy Spirit is and what he does in our lives. And what we've discovered is that the Holy Spirit's role is absolutely critical. And my desire and hope is that as you hear and message today, and for those that have been here through the series, you'll develop such a hunger that you want to be saturated with the Holy Spirit, filled to overflowing with the Holy Spirit. Once you begin to realize that God wants to do the work in you as you yield to him, life becomes an amazing adventure. Not I, but Christ. And it's definitely worth having. So we're working through our series, and about three quarters of the way through. And today we're going to transition. For the last probably six or seven messages in the series, we've focused primarily on the Holy Spirit's work in you as an individual. But today I want to transition to look at the Holy Spirit's work in the church, more of a corporate idea. And so if you'd stand with me, please, for the reading of God's word, we're going to take a look at Ephesians chapter 2. I want to read a section from verses 11 through 22. Hear the word of the Lord. Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, that done in the body by the hands of men, remember at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace. And in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Let's pray. Carla, would you do the honors and ask? Amen. You may be seated. Last week, for those of you who are here, we used a word picture or an analogy to help drive home the truth. I borrowed a tombstone from Cherry Valley Memorials, and the tombstone is next to me. Well, today I want to leave the cemetery. I think we've been there long enough, and leave the cemetery, and I want to head over to the construction site. Because God is involved in a building project, and he has appointed the Holy Spirit to serve as project manager. So what's the building project? What is it that God is attempting to build? Tell me from the text. Take a look at it. You can answer. It's not rhetorical. Go ahead. Loudly. What's it say he's building? Give me the words. Church. Keep going. Go next page. Take a look. Read the underline for me. As a church, go ahead, read it. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord, to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. So what God is doing, God is in the building trade. And God's Spirit is on the construction site as the project manager to make sure that God's plan is built according to God's specifications. Jesus said, I have not come to do my will, but the will of the Father who sent me. And then Jesus said, as he was leaving, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. He's going to glorify me. He's going to take from what's mine and show to you. So the Holy Spirit's job is to do what Jesus says in submission to the Father. So we've got God's plan for this temple, not a temple made of building of stones or mortar or rubble, but as 1 Peter chapter 5 tells us, we're the temple. We're the living stones that are being built into a spiritual house. So the Holy Spirit is on the job site, and he's going to oversee this thing, and he's going to make sure that the plan gets built according to God's specifications. 1 Corinthians 3:9 says we're God's building. We're God's building. Now, when you look in the Old Testament, you realize that God established the tabernacle for Israel. God pitched his tent in their midst. His glory, his Shekinah glory rested on that tabernacle. Then when they got into the promised land, a few hundred years later, David made all the preparations, but Solomon built a temple for God's dwelling place, the place where the Ark of the Covenant would be and the Holy of Holies, and the Ark would be placed in there and God's glory would rest. But when we jump into the New Testament, we find that a new temple has been built or is being built, because actually in Ephesians 2, it's a present tense. It's in the process of being built. We're not done yet. We're still under construction. But God is building a dwelling place, a temple where his Spirit can come. And finally, when all is said and done in Revelation, at the very end of the age, when we've got the new heavens and the new earth, we hear this. Verse 2 of Revelation, I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men. It's almost as if, and I've said this before, but I want to repeat it here. It's almost as if now at the end of history, and it's getting closer and closer to that point, you hear God go, finally. Finally, now, what I have wanted from the beginning, when I created Adam and Eve, I didn't have to, I did because I wanted to. I wanted to share my love and my grace. I wanted to be in a relationship, not because I was deficient in any way, but because this is who I am. And what I wanted got thwarted temporarily, but I had a plan to get it back. In all of human history has been his story to get to the point in Revelation 21 where finally, now, he's got a dwelling place. And we are that dwelling place. The church is his dwelling place. And God is building this temple made up not of, as I said, bricks and mortar, but made up of people that he's bringing together. And according to the text here, built on the foundation of the apostles, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, the revelation that God gave that became the Bible, that it becomes that foundation with Jesus Christ. And the text here says that Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. Now, when you and I think cornerstone, what do we normally think of? Al, you're a builder. What do we normally think when we think of cornerstone?
It's the first stone you lay to start the rest of the
building. Correct. That's what we normally think of as a cornerstone. But there's another, actually, more accurate word for this, rather than cornerstone, which we're so familiar with, it's capstone. And what's the difference between a cornerstone and a capstone?
The capstone is basically the last one.
That holds it together. It's where the angles come, they're right angles, and it holds it together. Jesus Christ is the foundation, and he's what capstones it and finishes it. That's Jesus. So the Holy Spirit then comes in and says, okay, Jesus is where it starts, Jesus is where it ends. It's built on the apostles and the private, but everybody else gets included in this thing. And God is intent, the project manager, to fulfill God's plan that God would get a dwelling place a holy temple where he would dwell. Okay? So how does he do it? Well, that brings me to the second thing, is that as project manager, you know, we have a project manager for our building project. He has to make sure all the material's on site. He's got to make sure the bids are done, everything's done. So the Holy Spirit, acting as a project manager, has to make sure that all the materials are on site to do the building. Now, if the materials are us, he needs to make sure we're there, that we're in the kingdom. And take a look at the text, again in Ephesians 2, look at verse 18. For through him, that is through Christ, we both have access to the Father by what? By one Spirit. See, God the Father had the plan to send his Son. Jesus died on the cross for our sin, but it's the Holy Spirit that brings it all together and applies it in our lives. So by one Spirit, now Paul is talking about in the context of the Jew and the Gentile. In fact, Ephesians 1, 2, and 3 is a beautiful section in which Paul is trying to enlarge the vision of the Ephesians to catch a cosmic view of the church, not just the little church, but the big church, the big C, made up of all believers from all time, all ages that look to Jesus Christ as Savior. And so in this section, Paul is talking about how through Christ, the Jew-Gentile divide that has kept them apart has now been broken. It's been taken care of, and Jesus has brought Jew together and Gentile together into one new person called Christian. It's somewhere I read, it's like an analogy that you throw lead and iron, two separate materials together, but what you get out is not the mix. What you get out is something new. You'll get gold. Not that you could get gold with lead and steel being mixed together, but it's almost as if you've got Jew and Gentile, but now you've got something brand new. You don't have a mix. You have something brand new. You have something called Christian. And as he works his way through, he's talking about how God takes this, but it happens through the Spirit. Flip over to 1 Corinthians 12. Verse 12. The body, Paul's using a different analogy here, not of a building, but of a body. In 1 Corinthians 12:12, he says, the body is a unit, though it's made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. So what we see here is that the Holy Spirit is responsible to make sure everybody that needs to be in this building is there. He makes sure that we're there for the building project. So number one, he oversees and makes sure that the plans are fulfilled based upon the Father's plan to have a dwelling place. Number two, he makes sure everybody that gets in by him so that we're available to be part of the church. But then the third thing he does is that as project manager, he gifts the workers who will construct the building. Flip over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You can follow along on the screen if you want. Paul says there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them and all men. And Paul's not trying to be exclusive there. It's all men and women. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit the message, a word of wisdom. To another the message, a word of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another miraculous powers. To another prophecy. To another distinguishing between spirits. To another speaking in different kinds of tongues. To still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. So what we find here is that as the project manager seeks to build the church, he takes people, brings them into the church, come in through them, and then he says, here, I'm going to gift you, and you, and you, and you, and I'm going to give you, and we've only listed nine here, there's multiple gifts that we find in Scripture, but that God says, I'm going to gift you with certain gifts that are going to be necessary in the building of this building. And so therefore, the gift that Al brings is absolutely essential to the building of the building. And so if Al's piece is missing, it's going to affect the building of the temple. If Margaret's piece is missing, it's going to affect. If Dee's part is missing. See, every one of you, because of what we're reading in the scripture, every one of you by the Holy Spirit is given gifts that need to be activated by the Spirit and utilized in the building of the temple. So if we have a church where only 10% or 20% are activated in their gifts and 80% are not, we'll never get to be the full temple God's called us to be. God's intention is 100% gifting, 100% activation of those giftings. He didn't expect there to be a professional ministry and unprofessional spectators. His intention was that every one of these living stones has a place to play and a place to be in this temple. Now, some of you may be, you know, on an outside wall that everyone sees. Some of you may be the plumbing inside that no one sees, but we'll know if you're not working. They know. They try to get their hot water working. Some of you may be the window, and everyone goes, ooh, beautiful stained glass window. Some of you might be the grease trap in the kitchen. And you feel like, well, what am I, man? I'm just a place where junk collects. You know, what I'm saying, though, is if you look through 1 Corinthians 12, Paul says no part is insignificant. The danger is that we start comparing ourselves to some other part, and we think, well, they got a better part than we do. But it's said in the text that it's the Holy Spirit that gives as he sees fit. So if you're gifted in this particular area, then relish that gift and thank God for that and say, Lord, how can I be used in that gift instead of jealously coveting somebody else's gift? Because if you're jealously coveting someone else's gift, you're no longer using what God wants you to use, and the temple's going to suffer. And God is looking for a holy temple, a complete temple that's getting it right, that's getting it together. So if you're sitting there, Lord, what is my gift? Maybe you don't know. I have the gift of I don't know, Pastor. Well, it's not quite a gift, but Lord, what is my gift? I think, first of all, you have to ask yourselves, Lord, do I really want to be used? And am I willing to be used in whatever way you want me to be used? Those questions have to be asked before any other question. And if you and I are in this thing called the temple of God, and we've been bought with a price, then we're his. We're his. So we really get challenged, Lord, do I take seriously what it means to be in the church? Membership means ministry. So what is it, Lord, that you're calling me to do and to be? Paul listed some gifts. He talks about a word of wisdom and a word of knowledge. Now, we're not going to take time to unpack all of those gifts, but there are these gifts. Some people have the gift, the word of wisdom. They have a capacity to hear from heaven and to provide divine wisdom and direction on where to go in a very difficult situation. James had this gift in Acts chapter 15. When under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, he spoke a solution to the circumcision issue. Word of knowledge, God who knows everything, choose to share some of his knowledge with you in things that you did not learn through human means. When I've done ministry with people and counseling, there are times that the Holy Spirit will say, go here, and I will say something, and next thing you know, they're bawling their eyes out. Because God showed me a secret of their heart that they did not share with me and I did not humanly know. But God popped it in my heart. And I said, did you, Because the Lord knows. A word of knowledge. A word of wisdom. Gifts of the Spirit that are said. Discerning of spirits. The ability to tell what is of God, what is of flesh, and what is of the enemy. What kind of spirit is. Gifts of healings. It's actually plural. Multiple gifts, multiple ways of healings. Tongues, the ability to bring forth a message in a language that you don't know, whether heavenly or earthly language, to a people. Interpretation of tongues, telling us from the Spirit what the message in tongues was all about. The gift of faith, not just general faith, but a supernatural faith that can believe for the miraculous. Miracles. These are just some of the gifts. At the end of chapter 12, there's more. Gifts of helps, gifts of administration, gifts of teacher. Romans 12 has more. There's so many gifts, and why would we be surprised? God's an infinite God. So find out, seek him. Lord, what is the part I'm supposed to play in the kingdom? Some of you may be called to do what I'm doing here, to be proclaimers of the word. Some of you may be called to be teachers of children. Some of you may be called to be servants. Some of you may be called to worship. There's so many different arenas. But it's the Holy Spirit's job to bring you into the temple, bring you into the kingdom to build this temple, and then to gift you so the temple can be built. So it's funny when we sit here, and it's easy for us to do, is we could get caught in the rut where we sit there and we think, well, why don't they do this at Calvary? Why don't they do that at Calvary? And my thought is, why don't you? Because if you see the need, you may be the one to feed the need and meet it. It's easier to sit and complain about what isn't than to become part of the solution so that it is. And if you're the one that sees it, you might be the one that has the burden to do it. Am I meddling or ministering? Okay. All right, so then what happens? We've got number one, Holy Spirit has to fulfill the Father's plans to build this building, this temple. And then he's the one by which he takes the work of Jesus so that we go through by the Spirit to get into this church. And then he gifts us to build it. And then once that's done, then he begins to oversee the work as the workers are working. And what do I mean by that? If you go through the book of Acts, there are so many times, and I've listed a few references for you, where the Holy Spirit said, do this, do that, go here, go that. Philip, for example, has got a revival going, and then the Holy Spirit takes him to a desert road, and he says, go up to that chariot. And then once he's done ministering to the Ethiopian eunuch, he ends up being whisked away by the Holy Spirit, ends up in Caesarea. We have Peter being led by the Spirit. Go to Cornelius' house. We've got Paul and Silas trying to go here, and the Holy Spirit says no. Trying to go here, the Holy Spirit says no, and then he gets a dream. Go here. We have the church of Antioch in Acts 13, where the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me, Paul and Barnabas, for the task that I've called. What am I saying? I'm saying it's the Holy Spirit that moves all the pieces. See, he not only gifts you, he then shows you where those gifts get used, how those gifts get used, where those gifts get used, because you don't always use a hammer. Sometimes you need a screwdriver. So there are times where your gift may not be the emphasized gift at that moment. What will you do? Fine, they don't want to use me. When did it become about you or me? See, the Holy Spirit may say to you, this is a season where I got to get you to stop because you're hammering way too much. And what you're doing is you're messing things up. Or it might say to you, you know that screwdriver? This isn't the screw I want you to take out. You're stripping it. Stop. See, there are times where the Holy Spirit will say, now speak. And there's times the Holy Spirit says, no, don't speak. And sometimes we want to speak when he says, don't speak. And we don't want to speak when he says, speak. See, we want to become so sensitized to the Holy Spirit that when that gift is answered, because see, the most important gift of all the gifts of the Spirit, the most important gift is the one that's needed at that time. And if we catch a vision that we're all in this together and all of our gifts are important, then whatever gift the Father says, I need this gift now, then everyone else steps back and says, go for it, to the one that has the gift. We cheer that one on. We say, yeah, go for it. You can do this. We're behind you. We believe God's in you. And they're like, really? Yeah. Instead of, wait a minute, how come they're getting the glory? What about me? Do you get this? Do you see? I'm using this image. I'm using a word picture, but I hope you're catching where I'm going with this thing. If we allow the Holy Spirit to oversee the workers, then he may move a team from here to here. Imagine the church of Antioch. They're having glory revival. Hallelujah, this is great. And God says, oh, by the way, I'm taking your pastor and your primary teacher out. What? What are we going to do? Oh, I don't know, trust me, maybe? See, what I'm saying is God can move and rearrange furniture as he needs to. But if we hold on so tightly then we won't move. And then we'll be in the wrong place at the wrong time. What we want to do is become so sensitive that when the Spirit says move, we move. When he says don't, don't. And we've got to be willing to let him rearrange things as he sees fit. And I got to tell you, for recovering control freaks like me, that's tough. I don't know, maybe some of you are like as flexible as Gumby. Remember Gumby? Was it Pokey and Gumby? Remember the little green guy? You could kind of bend a blob around? Yeah. I'm learning to be less rigid. It's not easy. But it's almost as if the Lord gets a kick out of keeping me off balance. So I have to rely on him. And I'm actually beginning to like it. Because I've discovered something. He actually knows what he's doing. Amen. And I don't! And I don't. The Father does know. And so the Holy Spirit will do this work if you and I will allow him. All right, so there we have these things, and that's a nice teaching portion. Pastor, you've been very good at laying out the doctrine. What do I do with it? You won't find any notes up here. Just hit the next slide, though. Keep, yeah. Oop, go back one. Notice I put Acts 29. For all of you purists, there's only 28 chapters in Acts. That's because the Holy Spirit is still working in the church. And I still believe that these things apply. So go ahead to the next slide. These four things. I wanted to lay a foundation for you, but now I want to finish with an application. Because I believe that the Word of God is to be done more than just hear the Word. We need to do the Word. But I also believe that what we do needs to be grounded in truth. Too many times we run off before we have a solid foundation of doing what we're doing. So you get the point that the Holy Spirit is the one that will carry out the Father's plan. He brings you by one Spirit into this church. He empowers you with gifts, and then he oversees, and that we need to be able to move where he moves. So what do I do with this? When this gets turned off, and we sing our last song, and we pray, and we walk out the door, what am I going to do with this? Well, here's what Paul says. After laying out all of this teaching and all this foundation in chapters 1, 2, and 3, Paul lays out for us some practical things that we're supposed to do. So let me look with you a few things. Number one, tie into the first one. If the Holy Spirit is the one that's going to oversee this thing, then I don't want anything in my life to grieve the Holy Spirit. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, do not grieve the Spirit of God. Imagine that. We have the capacity to grieve the Spirit. What does that mean? To grieve, I believe, one way of looking at that is, to grieve is as if the Holy Spirit is wanting us to become this holy temple of God, and we resist. See, Ephesians 4:1 says, as a prisoner of the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life that's consistent with the calling. If our calling is to be the holy temple of God, when we refuse to take that seriously, we grieve the Spirit of God. When we turn the church into what we want for our needs and our benefit, instead of to be a holy temple for dwelling for God, then I believe we grieve the Holy Spirit. The church is not primarily here to be about you having your needs met. Now, do they get met? Sure. But that's not primarily why you're here. You are here first and foremost to glorify God, to be a dwelling place where God's Spirit dwells. And so when we don't do that, when we don't take seriously, when we're not lining up consistently with what God's call is on our lives here, then we're grieving the Spirit. And that's what was happening at the church of Corinth. Remember, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3, you all are the temple of God. I laid the foundation. But people are building on it, and they're not using gold, silver, and precious stones. They're using wood, hay, and stubble, straw. And the problem is that as a result, you're no longer standing apart from the world. In Corinth, there were multiple temples. At one time, a total of 30 different temples operated in Corinth. One was the god of healing, one was the god of the sun, one was the goddess of love, which was filled with all kinds of immorality. And God wanted the Corinthian church to be a temple that would be an alternative to all the temples around them. He wanted his church to be so different that when Corinth looked at them, they go, wow, I want that. And so when God looks at us, at Calvary Assembly and the church as a whole, he's looking for us to live differently than the way the world lives, to think differently than the way the world does, to act differently, to speak differently, to feel differently than the way the world does. If all we do is act, sound, look, and think the way the world does, what's the point of the church? This is why last week I preached so hard about God's desire to transform your life and transform mine, about going to the cross and being crucified with him and putting to death by the Spirit those things that are not of God. Because God is looking for Calvary and all the rest, but he's looking for Calvary, as I'm the pastor, he's looking for Calvary such that when the people out there who are unchurched look in, they go, wow, that's different. But not different in, that's different. But different as in, oh my gosh, there's God. Remember, people were supposed to come into the church, see the power of God at work, and fall on their knees and say, surely God is in your midst. If they come in and find everything that's out there in here, there's no point to be here. So we don't want to grieve the Spirit of God. And here, let me just as an aside, not even part of the message, just coming right on the spot. At the spot you grieve God will be the spot God will eventually bring you back to after you're done grieving. And what I mean by that is, at some point, God will say, do this or don't do this, and you'll don't do it or do it, opposite of what he said. And at that point, you have begun to move away from the call of God and you're grieving. When you finally are brought to repentance, God will bring you right back to that spot. He will bring you back to Kadesh Barnea where you had your last failure, because he will bring it back and say, now are you going to do this my way or not? Some of us take a whole lot of laps around the desert. I've teased in the past, but it's like they know us by name at the hotel. They have our credit card on file. We go in, oh, it's so good to see you again, Mr. Richards. God doesn't want that. He wants us to be so sensitive to that we're not grieving. We're saying, I understand the high and holy call. Secondly, practical application is that it's the Holy Spirit that brings people in. It's the Holy Spirit that made us one. Look around. Whether you like it or not, the Holy Spirit saw fit to put your neighbor in this church. And believe me, while you're thinking about that, they're thinking, why did God put you in here? Every one of us is here by divine design. And because of that, we are now interconnected. So that when I hurt you, I'm hurting you. And you. And you. And me. It's like going to a building, our building, on Mineral Springs Road, and yanking out a wall. The whole building will suffer. When we hurt one another, and that's why it's critical what Paul says in Ephesians 4, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only that which is good for the use of edifying, that you might build others up. See, if we're connected, we have an obligation to make sure we're boosting each other up. We have an obligation to make sure we are concerned for each other. Because we are to make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit. We're to make every effort. Notice that. Make every effort. King James says endeavoring. The idea being that you didn't produce unity, I didn't produce unity, but I have an obligation to keep unity that the Spirit produced. And I want you to know, unity is difficult. I'm not talking about uniformity. Thank God we don't have to look alike, talk alike, and be identical. That'd be awfully boring. I like the diversity. In fact, I love the diversity in the body of Christ. But at the same time, I am called to make every effort. And there are times it is an effort to be in unity with somebody else. There are times it would just simply be easier to say, forget it. I don't have that option in the kingdom. Because once I'm in the kingdom, my stone connects to your stone, which connects to the next stone, and I have to make every effort to be in unity. Number three, I have an obligation to use my gifts. I'm not going to repeat that. We've done it already. I got to use my gifts. And number four, be sensitive to when the Spirit says to use them and where to use them and how to use them. Giving a case in point here, real quick. Some of you operate in the gift of prophetic speech. God gives you prophetic words. That's wonderful. But not every word you get, you're supposed to give. Sometimes he gives it so you go to prayer for it. Because you can give the right word at the wrong time and destroy a sister or a brother. You need to know. Same thing with people here who have a gift of mercy. Some of you just bleed mercy. But you know, sometimes, hear me, hear how I'm saying this. Mercy is absolutely important. But sometimes your mercy will trump God's training process. And you will want to remove somebody from pain because you hurt so badly for them when that pain is the very tool God's using to get to a point in their life. In other words, you've got a gift, but you're using it at the wrong time and you're harming a brother or sister in Christ. Does this make sense? You might have the gift of encouragement. You might have the gift of word or not. I mean, there's so many different gifts. But to know when to use them means that you and I have to rely upon the leading of the Holy Spirit, becoming more and more sensitive to His direction. God is committed to getting a building built. We certainly can understand, can't we? We're in a building project on Mineral Springs Road. So this hits home for us. We're watching that building go up little by little. Some of us would like it much faster. So we get frustrated because it's not as fast as we'd like. And here's the danger. When it doesn't go as fast as we like, we feel the need to help God to push things along. That's true also in our Christian lives. There are people who are young in the faith who get a whole lot more grace necessary than someone who's been in the faith for 20 years and knows better. What I'm saying is that we need to recognize, do we have a brother or sister that's just getting started? Do we have a brother or sister who knows what they're doing and they're deliberately rebelling? We need to be sensitive because God is building His church one stone at a time. And we want to make sure that we are staying in step with the Spirit, whether it be the natural building or the spiritual building, because when all is said and done, unless the Lord builds the house, they who labor, labor in vain. And the older I get, the more I'm convinced it's got to be the Holy Spirit directing the process. Now, the next time I preach, because I'm going to preach next week, but it won't be in the series. Next time I preach, I want to take a different analogy to drive home this point. From a different perspective. But I hope you got enough today to get this. You and I are in God's building project. We're under construction. We're in it together. We're gifted to do the work. Let's do the work. Let's be committed to the building. Let's let God finish so that He has a dwelling place that He can be by His Spirit. Let's pray. And Sid, if you could go back to the keyboard, Sid, I appreciate it. As Sid's going, let me say this to you. I'm going to pray. For the last 24 hours or so, as I have been praying, planning for today, I keep getting a stirring in my spirit about the importance of having time today in our service to pray for one another. That God wants to minister to you, to get you ready to be part of doing what He wants to do, but you need some prayers. You need to depend upon each other. And so what I want to do is I'm going to have Sid just play some music. And if you need prayer, here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you to come to the front and just kind of make a line. And then after they're in place, can the rest of the body of Christ just begin to come up and stand behind them? And we're going to finish together at the altar praying for one another and asking the Holy Spirit to minister. So let me pray and then I'm going to invite you up. Lord, You have sent Your Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit has a mission to build this holy temple, the church, as a place for the dwelling place of God. Not with bricks and mortar, not with wood and stone, but with people, living stones. We are Your temple. And my prayer as we hear Your word, that we would act on that word. And we've already prayed earlier in the service, but we do as well. If there's any area where we're grieving the Spirit, by failing to take seriously the call and living consistently with that calling that we have, we want to deal with that right now, here in this place. Lord, we want to minister to one another because we're brought in by the Spirit into one body. That means we're interconnected stones. And what happens on the southeast corner of the building affects me on the northeast or northwest. So we want to make sure we're caring for one another in the body of Christ. We want to listen to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church and go in that direction. Even if you're rearranging things, we want to be open to that. And we want to be available for whatever gifts you give us to use, empowered by the Spirit, to see this building built. And so, Lord, as we enter into a season of prayer, as we finish the service, we ask that you would allow such a binding together in love of these stones as we stand in the gap for each other.